Last week, I spoke about God's unfailing love for us and about Jesus giving up his life to save us from sin and eternal death. True acts of unconditional love, his agape love. We sometimes have a hard time comprehending that, but once we allow Christ into our hearts, he helps us to see what unconditional love is all about, because he is love. We are to love just as Christ loved us. In fact, we are not asked to love one another, but we are commanded to love thy neighbor, even the unlovable, and we are to pray for our enemies. Tonight, my focus is the first part of a two-part message on walking the Christian life. Once you accept Christ as Lord and Savior and ask him to live in your heart, you become a new man, a new creation. You are born again. Jesus says in John 3, verse 3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." He was speaking to Nicodemus about this. The old has passed away, all things become new. You will no longer want to be like you used to be. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, just as Jesus has promised. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When we become Christians, we must allow the Holy Spirit to gradually work in us and to change our lives, our thoughts, and our desires, and our goals, so that our lives are more Christ-centered instead of being self-centered. We must walk in the Spirit. This will help us communicate with God on an intimate level, because Christ didn't die for us to have a religion. He died for us to not only be freed from our bondage to sin and the grave, but also to have a close and personal relationship with him. We were created for that. We must also walk in love just as Christ did. We must keep our minds on what is good, and reading scripture will help us do just that. The Bible is the word of God. It never changes. And as you read the scriptures, it is like God breathing life into you, because the words of the Bible are God-breathed. They are alive and full of power. This also helps us grow in the Spirit to become closer to God and to help us use those powerful words on our daily lives. Anyone who wants to know God must walk closely with him. Just like we can walk with our earthly friends, talk, and getting to know them better and becoming closer to them, the same holds true for walking with Jesus. He is our friend, one that we can truly trust. If you are truly converted or changed, you will want to please God and only God, putting his will above your own. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, "Truly I tell you, unless you are truly converted and you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Why children? Because children have a way of believing everything that you say and believing it as fact. It's only when we grow up that we tend to question everything. Children have complete faith, and faith is the currency of heaven. For our faith in Jesus Christ is what gets us to heaven. This is what moves God's heart. Children are also eager to humbly learn and to please their father. Being a Christian comes with many challenges. The cost of being a disciple is great, but it is really worth it. It's truly rewarding. Salvation is absolutely free, and it changes your life. You receive it freely, at no expense to you, but once you receive it, you just have committed everything you are and everything you have to Jesus Christ. To truly follow him, we must consider the cost and put him above everything else. Unfortunately, many Christians today seem content to live what they think is an adequate Christian life. They believe if they go to church, read their Bibles from time to time, and say their prayers once in a while, they will be all right with God. Occasionally, they may be inspired to go above and beyond their normal routines and volunteer to serve others as ushers, members of a church committee, or even help out at church functions. Though they go through the motions of being a good Christian, they do not enjoy the power, peace, and joy that should come with abundant life that Jesus promised. Eventually, the counterfeit Christian life that they're living becomes a burden and does not comfort them when storms of adversity assail. This was not what we were created for. God does not call you or any believer to be a part-time Christian. He desires to have an intimate relationship with you daily, where you experience his presence and trust him in all situations. With every step you take and decision that you make, conversation that you have, and thought that you entertain, the Lord wants you to glorify himself through you. He desires to shine in your life. All Christians should know that to be a follower of Christ, we should do just that. Follow Jesus. Emulate what he did while he was on earth. Christianity means that I have given up myself to God and I am to please only him. We need to die to ourselves, to our fleshly desires, wants, needs on a daily basis and not just on Sundays. To live the Christian life is to allow Jesus to live in and through us. This is why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is what it means to take up our cross and follow him. When we receive his free offer, it cost us nothing. We were still bought with a price. And that price is the price that Jesus paid on the cross in our place. We are no longer our own, but we are children of God. As it states in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. So we need to consider the cost of following him. He never said it would be easy to follow him. This isn't a new fad that you can jump at and try it out and see how it goes for you just to run away and quit when things get tough. That's not how it works. Sadly, many people don't want to change. In Luke 14, there were great multitudes that were following Jesus, but they didn't fool him. He knew many were not true to him, and they were following under false pretenses. He turned to the crowds and laid out his demands of discipleship. He told them that they needed to know the cost before they even begin to follow him. They were to love him more than themselves or their own families. Pick up your cross and follow me, he said. And because of that, many have turned away. What a glorious and fulfilling life that they had missed because of their unwillingness to change. Living the Christian life does not mean enjoying a life of ease and never experiencing problems. No matter what opposition you face, living the Christian life is truly worth it. Enjoying a relationship with God and his Son, Jesus, being confident of where you will spend eternity, and living in day-to-day fellowship with him is far greater than any opposition that you may face. Just as an owner's manual for your car is to help us maintain the life of our vehicle, the Bible is our owner's manual that we need to help us maintain our Christian life, as well as grow in our relationship, commitment, and obedience to Jesus Christ. Here are a few principles, things to consider. Each principle is centered on the Lord, bringing the glory to him alone. and the fulfillment of each is important to a healthy Christian life. But first and foremost, we should all know that we are saved by nothing we did, but only through the grace of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice of love for us on the cross. We should seek God, not sin. We must hunger and thirst for God, for he is giver of life. We will find life in nothing else. But as sinful humans, our hearts are prone to sinful ways, and at times, falling away from the path set before us. But remember that sin leads to death. We must have self-control. Our souls were made to pursue God, to know God, and walk with God, nothing else. It's only as we pursue him that we live. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." We must seek him daily, or we could die spiritually. Sadly, many are too self-absorbed or too busy to truly seek him with all their heart and strength. Too many worldly things grab our attention and pull us away from doing just that. I will admit I've been there many times, and those are the times that I find myself unable to handle certain situations. I get easily angered, and I become full of anxiety. If I'm not committed and I don't keep my eyes on him and seek him daily, whether it's through reading scripture, listening to praise and worship music, praying, or just sitting in quietly in his presence, I will lose total focus on my Christian walk. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Do you feel convicted when you sin? Is there an overwhelming sense that you did something wrong? There should be, because as a born-again Christian, we should immediately be convicted of whatever we just did, thought, or said that was not of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills us with that conviction when it is needed. A person that continually sins without remorse might not be a Christian at all. Of course, the more a believer sins and the longer that they refuse to confess their sin, a hardening of the heart occurs, and eventually they slide into more and more sin. Our true priority should be seeking Christ and his kingdom above all else, because if we do, we will have all that we need. We should also fear God, not men. Our God is holy. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is full of power and grace. Do you care more about what others think of you than about what God thinks? We need to learn to fear God. This will help us with walking in his presence and not wondering about what others think. And we should not worry about what man thinks of us, for man does not choose our destiny. The fear of man is a crippling disease of the heart that causes people to lose the courage that God has given them. And when we continue to fear what man thinks, it separates us from the lifestyle of courage that is our nature in Christ. The fear of the Lord also keeps us from evil and sin. The fear of the Lord also keeps us from evil and sin. It masquerades as wisdom. It hides behind the need to seek counsel with the Lord. When we lose the fear of God and don't respect him and his commandments, we are going to live our lives without accountability to God and to one another. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. A snare is a dangerous trap that we do not want to get caught up in. But God alone has the power to free us. He wants us to trust only in Him. Remember this simple biblical truth. We obey the one we fear. You get it? We obey the one we fear. If we fear God, then we obey Him. If we fear man, then we obey the world and man. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Trusting God is safe. Fearing man is not. God usually teaches us through the hard lessons of obeying in spite of feeling afraid, for then we learn to trust God's promises more than our own perceptions. Love God, not the world. Where do you spend most of your time? What do you spend most of your money on? The world is seeking to seduce us into a love affair, but we must love God and be preoccupied with pleasing Him alone. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." The beginning of that is a command. You see, we cannot love both God and the world. If you love God with all your heart, it will push out the love of the world, but it will also do the opposite. If you love the world with all of your heart, it pushes the love of God out of your life. The reason for this is because the world excludes love for God, because all that is in the world is not of God. God expects our Christian values to align with His. And if we become friends with the world, allowing the world's views to influence our decisions, lifestyles, and character, then Scripture says that we become enemies of God. The world and everything in it will pass away, but God is forever. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We must also love His people and be concerned about their eternal destiny. We must look at them with compassion, just like Jesus did, and be moved with action to do something for them. This shows them the love of Christ. Amen.